says in Parshas Yisroi, Per Yudches Posuk Tes, Vayichad Yisroi Al Kol HaTovah. We normally translate the word Vayichad as in Yisroi rejoiced. Al Kol HaTovah Asha Hashem Li Yisrael Asha Hitziloi Miyad Mitzrayim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had saved them from Yisroel. But the Gemara in Sanhedrin translates Vayichad as meaning something else completely. Number two on the sheet, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Sadi Dalad Omadalad, Vayichad Yisroi, Rav Shmuel Oma, Shehevir Cherev Chado, that he passed over himself a sharp knife, a sharp sword. The word Vayichad can mean chod, sharp. Shehevir Cherev Chado al Besore, says Rashi over there. What does it mean, he passed a sharp sword? He did Bris Mila. He did Bris Mila, obviously, in order to be Megayer. In order to become a Geir, you had to have Bris Mila. So therefore the Gemara has a new look at the word Vayichad. Vayichad doesn't necessarily mean, it can also mean he rejoiced, but it means he was Megaya. He did a Bris Mila and he was Megaya.
Sorry, how did you translate it in the first quarter?
Normally we translate it and he rejoiced. Chedva. Chodi, the Targum always says the Lashon of Simcha. But the Gemara says Chad is the Lashon of Sharp.
It's one, Yachad.
Echod, that's Echod with an Aleph. Chad can also mean unity, maybe it's also to do with sharp, it's the ultimate oneness. Okay. But that's what the Gemara says, he was Megayah and he did Bris Mila. So it seems nothing very Mechudash about that. Obviously, in order to become a Ger, you have to have Bris Mila, so Yisrael did Bris Mila. Not much of a Chiddush. However, Rav Zalman Sirotkin, Zeichet Tzadik Levracha, the Baal Mechaba Aznaim Latera, wanted to suggest that over here we have a proof to a major tumult, a huge controversy that was raging in Europe at the beginning of the last century, b'negea to the Mila of a Ger. What was the big tumult? We have to remember over here, the famous Gemara says that in the Midbar there was no Ruach Tzofonis, there was no northerly wind. Now, it's difficult to describe, but this is what the Gemara tells us. Apparently, in order to do Bris Mila in the Midbar safely, you had to make sure that this northern wind was blowing, and this wind apparently had medicinal qualities and it would heal the baby, without which it was a sakana to do Bris Mila. And in fact, Chazal tell us, Klal Yisrael didn't do Bris Mila in the Midbar. For that reason, it was a sakana. The Mokem Sakana, we don't do Bris Mila.
The Levim
did. Maybe we'll get to that. Rashi quotes in Vazei Sabrocha that the Levim did do Bris Mila. How they're allowed to, why they did it, we'll soon see. But Lemaisa Klal Yisrael did not perform Bris Mila in the Midbar because it was a sakana, and if it's a sakana, you can't put your life in danger. So now suddenly the Gemara is not so poshut. Yisroi did do Bris Mila in order to become a Ger, despite the fact that it was a sakana. There was a huge controversy. Somebody suggested, and not any old somebody, this is the Zeche Yitzchok, one of the Gedolei Achreinim. What's the halacha in precisely this situation? A Ger wants to become a Jew. A Goy wants to become a Jew. And for whatever reason, it's a sakana to do Bris Mila. And you have to realize, Meirav Raboisa, I'm not Chas V'Shalom discussing halacha over here, but this is extremely negeh, halacha l'maisa. An elderly person, Besoif Yomov, decides to convert. And the doctors say, you can convert, no problem, but it's just dangerous to do Bris Mila. So is he stuck? Can he therefore just not become a Jew? Because the Mila process, we know, entails doing Bris Mila. And if he can't do it, he can't do it. So there is some sort of precedent in this. Because the Gemara says clearly that if, tragically, the limb, the Ava, where you perform the Bris Mila has been severed, then a person can become a Geir without Bris Mila. It's not possible for him to do Bris Mila physically, because he doesn't have the physical wherewithal to do Bris Mila. So the question is, well, what about when he does have the physical wherewithal, it's just dangerous to do it? Is that the same? Is that considered physically not being able to do Bris Mila, and therefore he doesn't have to do Bris Mila? When somebody doesn't have the Ava of the Bris Mila, so to speak, he's like a woman. A woman who wants to become a Giyoyres is not shaykh by her the Pasha of Bris Mila, therefore she doesn't do Mila. So what does she do? Tvila. She goes to the mikveh, that's all there is. So a person with no Ava as it were, I say it carefully, has the din of an isha. It's not shayach by him bris milah, and that's mufurish. There's no discussion about that. That's mufurish. He doesn't have to do bris milah because it's just not possible. So the question therefore arose, well, what happens if physically it is possible, it's just life threatening, it's dangerous?
Coming back to Yitro, is the sakana the same for 8 days old and an adult?
Okay, we'll see. By the way, not that the Torah needs any backing whatsoever, but I know there's some medical people over here. They did a study recently, probably university in America, that's where all these things happen, and they discovered, they on a graph, Boston, Massachusetts, it's always there, and they worked out, due to the blood count and the of a child, really of any person from the moment he's born till he's dead, when is it the optimum moment to perform the circumcision? And it came out on the 8th day of a child's life is the optimum, the most safe time to do bris milah. Not that Torah needs proof.
Can I ask a question? If it's a concept to do a bris on a yid as well, let's say late in life, in Russia, there were many yidden who didn't have bris milah. This is the concept to do a bris milah. Is it the same question or not?
As what?
As doing a bris milah.
As a ger.
A
distinction between a ger and
the conic coming to play with a yid as
somebody who is a Jew, a fully fledged Jew, is Jewish even without bris milah. Right. Now it might well be his halachic status, although not chepering in any way his Jewishness. Of course, he's a Jew. He's the status of an oral. What does that mean? So it might have halachas with regard to Korban Pesach and with regard to going into the Beis HaMikdash and Karbonos, etc., 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 eating Truma. But a Jew is 100% Jew. Yeah, his halachas might change as a result of not having bris milah. Here the question is somebody who wants to become a Jew. He wants to become a Jew but can't. So that was the shaila. Is it or isn't it the same as somebody who physically can't do bris milah because just doesn't have the eva there?
Were B'nai Yisrael in the Midbar, they're still, were they considered Jews before and after?
Correct. The Matan Torah, they became Jews, fully fledged. Right. No question about that.
Irrespective of the bris milah.
Yeah, no, they already had done bris milah. Right, the question is, they're children now. Their children, their grandchildren in the Midbar.
So why did Tzipora do the bris milah?
Kushi Atzuma. You hit the jackpot, Reb Samuel. Maybe we'll get to that. Okay, I'll call upon him. This was the question that was making its rounds in Europe, and I can only guess, probably, because the shaila arose, halacha lemaisa. Somebody wanted to become a geir, but couldn't physically do bris milah, not because it wasn't shaykh, it just wasn't healthy, it was dangerous. So at first, the Zeicha Yitzchok wanted a claim that, no, there's no such thing. You cannot become a geir without bris milah, period. Again, if the person doesn't have an eva there, that's a different story. It's like a woman, it's not shaykh by him, Mila. Here it is, shaykh. It's just dangerous, it's just too bad. But then the Zeicha Yitzchok says, I have a raya, an absolute goyness of a raya, that it seems to be a mefurusha ritva, that if you cannot do bris milah, not because the child doesn't have the eva of bris milah, but because there's a physical prevention that doesn't allow me to do a bris milah, he can still become a ger. Where's the proof? So you brought a Gemara in Yevamos, number 7 on the sheets. Omar Rava. It's an unbelievable. This is one line of a Gemara. There's so much Torah on this one line. The Omar Rava. Nochris mu'uberes shenizgayra. A non-Jewish woman who wanted to become a convert, but she was pregnant at the time. B'na ein tzorich tvila. That means, the way the Rishonim explain, when she was megayer, that geirus took effect for her and for her unborn child. So to speak, that means when the child is born, ein tzorich tvila. He doesn't need to do a tvila, he's already had a tvila.
Well, he was like an aver of the Isha.
Oh, so that's where the Gemara gets into discussion. Is there anything to do with uba yerech imoy, uba lav yerech imoy? Is he part of the mother, is he independent of the mother? But whatever it is, the Gemara says the child doesn't need tvila. He's a ger.
But
did
you worry about that all the other things? Don't I need tvila for
ger? So all the Rishonim ask, what happened to bris milah? If he's a child, who's a son, the Gemara actually says, B'no ain't tzarech tvila. Her son doesn't need tvila. Which means that when he comes out, he's a ger. Now, There is a big shaila. We know in order to become a ger, there's two halves to the process. Bris Mila and Tevila. Technically speaking, there's a third part as well, which is a korban. There's a korban geiris as well. Fine, that's not negeir nowadays. There's actually a fourth section as well. There's a whole discussion about this, which is, of course, probably the most important part. That's the kabbalas mitzvahs, which is a whole discussion. Is that a part of the geiris, or is that just a prerequisite, a condition prior to geiris? But that's what you need.
I caught my ear. Why you call this unborn child?
Again.
Yeah, because he's born Jewish. Why is he again? If he became Jewish in a certain period of time, why he's a Jew?
He's born Jewish.
What he
is it inception or is it...
That's all the discussion there. When he was initially conceived, it was Shaloi Bekdusha. It was as a non-Jew.
Which you guys suppose, Mila or Tevila?
Oh, that's the cash. So all the Rishonim ask, the halacha is, you first need Bris Mila, and only then do you do the Tevila. And we've discussed in this shir, at least once, maybe twice, the very famous question of what happens when somebody's in the middle. He's done the Bris Mila, he hasn't yet done the Tevila. He's a Ger Shemol V'loy Taval. Is he half a Jew? Is he nothing at all? Is he a fully fledged guy? The halacha is that until you've done both, you're technically non-Jewish. Does that literally mean that you're absolutely as good as having done nothing, you can back out?
That was the big question,
where there's literally Sfarim, and I'm not exaggerating, Sfarim written on this shaila. Yeah. On the Tshuvas Binyan Tzi in the Aruch Haner, he was the one who was zeicha to the shaila, somebody wrote to him, a geir shemol v'loy toval. He's right there in the middle. Must he keep Shabbos? Or must he be mechalal Shabbos? The goy is not allowed to keep Shabbos. And if you think that's not a halacha lemaisa, my uncle was asked in Bnei Brak a shaila, a geir, who did a bris mila. And his tvila was scheduled for Friday morning. And before he did the tvila, he just got his Shabbos ready, he put his cholent on the flame. He did his tevila and then came back and phoned my uncle, is the cholent bishul akum or not? So anybody who says it's not halacha l'maisa, we're talking about cholent over here. This is pikuach nefesh mamash. So it was a whole discussion. What's the so you need to know? Ger shemol v'loy toval. So the truth is, ger shemol v'loy toval is a whole discussion. It's very neger. We're veering off in the last week's sedra. When did Klal Yisrael do bris mila?
3 or 4
They did it in Mitzrayim.
Yeah.
When did they do the Tevila? Next week's Seder, if you look at the end of Mishpatim, it's Negev. So this week's Seder, when it comes to Matan Torah, the Malach sprinkled all the dam over them, that was the Tevila. So, in between Yitzias Mitzrayim and Matan Torah, they are the classic Ger Shemol V'loy Toval. They're right in the middle. When did they receive the instruction on keeping Shabbos? In Mora, last week's Sedra. Says Avinezim, for a Shaposuk in the Torah, that Ger Shemol V'loy Tovah has to keep Shabbos.
There's a difference.
Because that's what Klal Yisrael were.
They were born with Bnei Avraham.
Oh, very good. You mean the Ritva and Ksubas and Achami.
What do you mean? Because they were the Rabbi came out with, who were Dafka Nuchi.
We just discussed this in the Shir. You're right, how we can be Deucha the right. I'll call upon and we're veering off. So Meir Avraham, we say, we know a Ger has to have two parts to his Bris Mila, Mila and Tevila. So, what is he? Where is he? Halfway? If I tell you that the Rashba and Yevamos in one place says that once he's done the Mila, Nichnas Ktsas Ladas Yehudis. He has slightly entered the Jewish religion. You look at that Rashba, it's impossible.
Are you half pregnant?
Yeah, are you Jewish or not? But the Rashba literally sounds like he's saying he's a bit Jewish. What does that mean? So, we discussed it another occasion, that's not for today. Al Kaponim, that's clear. In order to be a fully fledged Jew, no discussion about that, at least halacha lemaisa, you've got to do Mila and Tevila. In which order? First Mila, and then Tevila. Yeah. So, all the Rishonim ask, what about this unborn fetus? He is in the mother's womb. He is having his Tevila now. But the Bris Mila? The Bris Mila you can only do when the child's born. So the whole order's wrong. That's what the Gemara asks. So some say, yep, you see from over here that it doesn't matter which order. Okay. The Ritzvah says not that way. The Ritzvah says, have a look at number 8 on the sheets. He says, the Shani Hasim, he says, no. There's different. The unborn child, that's a different story. The Keshehu B'meyai Imoi, as long as he's in the mother's womb, Ein Boi Mila. You can't do bris mila to him. You can't reach the child. V'harehu Ken Akeva. He therefore is considered, as it were, an Akeva. The Sagi Leiba Tvila. And therefore it's enough, in order to Megaya him, he only needs Tvila. In fact, it's not a him, it's a her. Mm-hmm. It really is a him. Mm-hmm. But if you can't do bris mila, that's okay. That's okay. His geirus will only require tvila. Ochashanoilad. And when he's therefore born, umalinoiso, and eventually you do circumcise him, eino elokumo yisrael. He's a fully fledged Jew already.
I don't understand the question in one sense. When we shechet an animal, and the cow has a mother, a child within it, we consider the child to be already shechted with the shechting of the mother. In other words, the child is inherently not an independent creature.
Okay, so you're getting, yeah, 100%. You're getting involved in Uba Yerach Imai. You're getting involved in why does this child need Geirus at all?
That's
Mavor, he needs Geirus. That's as a given, we don't have time to. He needs Geirus. Okay. Geirus normally entails two parts, and yet the Gemara is saying over here, he doesn't need Tevila. Why? He hasn't done Bris Mila yet. Says Ritzvah, he doesn't need it. Sagi lei b'tvila. It's enough to do a tvila without a bris mila. Why? Because not shaykh to get to his bris mila. Says the Zeicher Yitzchak. What do you see from this Ritzvah? Phenomenal chiddush. Yeah. Even though he's a zocher and he has the eva of bris mila, hasn't been cut off. It's there. Just physically not shaykh to reach it. Oh, so suddenly, so his geirus is a different geirus. His geirus is like an akeva, only requires tevila, and that's all there is to it. Says the Zeicher Yitzchak, well, if that's the case, perhaps we can suggest the same with every geir. A girl, you want to become a Jew, but can't do bris mila because it's life-threatening, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. So he'll become a geir without tevila, without bris mila.
It's not yefshar. It's not yefshar. When he's in the mother, when he's at Uber, it's yefshar. It's not shy, it's a yefshar. You can't do bris mila there.
Okay.
It's not.
You're in good company, because the Achiezer wrote back a furious tshuva. Chas v'sholom miloy makein, he says. Chas v'sholom. You look at number 13 on the sheets. Chelek Dalad mem hei, Reb Chaim Weizer. The great Reb Chaim Weizer. The Rav, the Godel Hadoir. Undisputed Godel Hador in Vilna at the time of the war. Dvar HaShaile, he says, Im Efsha lekabel ger b'tvila greda. Is it possible that somebody can convert only with tvila? Hecha she'i Efsha b'mila machma sakona. K'moi misha nichras hagid. Is it the same as somebody whose limb has been severed? Hadova poshut, he says, it's obvious deloy domi. You can't compare the two as well. Lenichras Hagid, that's a different story. Somebody who's had his limb severed, Rahman al Itzlan, is literally like a woman. Masha'ein Kain, Mish'i Efshalomul Machmas Sakona, She'ein Eger Achayimoil, Vayitboil, Va'ein Bazer Shum Sofik. The Achiezer says, as far as I'm concerned, it's not even a Shaila. So I understand, he means like what you're saying. In the case of the Ritzvah, it's Shaykh. The child, Be'etzim, has an Eva. But what? It's not physically possible to reach it. Still a chiddush. Let's not kid ourselves. It's a tremendous chiddush of the Ritzvah. That at the end of the day, because you can't physically reach the bris mila, that should change his status as an akeva. It's a massive chiddush. Fine. But al kaponim, it's not the same as somebody else who you can physically reach the bris mila. It's just dangerous. So the Achiezer says, I'm not hearing a word of it. Ein bozeh shum sofik. There is no such thing. Yeah, dangerous, not dangerous. Can you do the bris mila? Yes. So it's dangerous. It won't become a guy. It won't become a yeast. That's what he says.
Would it be possible to do the microscopic surgery? I mean, would you be able to do it in utero, possibly?
It's not 8 days old.
Eight days doesn't for Geirus. Geirus can be Megaya 3 days as well.
Even a newborn?
Yeah, other. So he's not born a Jew.
I get 3 days, but is it before 3 days? I mean, it's per...
What this Geirus is on an unborn child. Al-Kol Bonavoyf. So the Achiezer said, as far as I'm concerned, the Shaila is a non-starter. If you cannot do Bris Mila because it's dangerous, so he'll remain non-Jewish. It's just too bad.
The danger is a medical danger?
Yeah, psychonosis.
Is it something that can change or not change?
Might do.
I was thinking of the distinction in terms of kashrus, davar shishlo matir. In other words, is this
it's not that principle.
It's not the same principle.
Yeah, davar shishlo matir.
That's a sakana that's never going to change. In other words, this is a sakana that's like inherent in this person, whatever their medical condition is.
So the emes is, the emes la'amita is, there is a Rambam, which is mashma something like what you're saying. Not benegeya to this, it's similar. Also something we once discussed, when two sons, Rahman al-Itzlan, die as a result of Mila, you don't do Bris Mila on a third. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Rambam's talking about that. The Rambam also talking about stam, a child who's dangerous. The Rambam says something like, very strange Lashon. The Rambam says, if you have an 8-day child who you can't do Bris Mila to because it's dangerous, don't do it. Don't do it. So you'd expect him to say, why not? Because it's dangerous, it's life-threatening, end of story. No. The Rambam says, you know why I don't do it? Because you can always do the Bris Mila another time, but you won't be able to bring back his life another time. That's what the Rambam says. Mm-hmm. So everybody stands, says, hang on a minute, sounds like from the Rambam, do you know why we don't do Bris Mila to him? Because you can always do the Bris Mila another time. And what would be if you can't do the Bris Mila another time? If a doctor will tell you with 100% certainty it's not shaykh, this child will never, it'll never be healthy to do Bris Mila. Sounds like from the Rambam, then you would do Mila now. Because the Rambam only exempted you because of a cheshbon. If he dies now, you'll never be able to bring him back to life. But the Bris Mila, that you can always do again. So therefore, why kill him when it's unnecessary? You might as well wait till the chance you can do Bris Mila. So the Chasam Sofer is medayik in the Rambam. It sounds like, but if, however, you can never do Bris Mila, if you know for a fact, now I'm not, you're going to ask me, how do you know? Maybe think, okay, doctors said for a fact, it's not shaykh for him to do Bris Mila.
Right.
It sounds like in the Rambam, then you would have to do Bris Mila now. And Chasam Sofer says, how can it be? Ait sakonos nefoshes v'chai bohem.
Why is this conclusion? Rambam starts with one. We do not take his life.
Why?
It is a,
no, he says why?
It's not
because
why.
You can do Bris Mila. No, but that's the kasha. He doesn't stop there.
You cannot take human life.
Oh, very good.
Forget about it.
That's the Chasam Sofer's kasha.
So what the Rambam saying is, you're a total of a holy.
That's what it sounds like. No, you're mechavim to the Chasam Sofer's kasha. It sounds like from the Rambam, that's the Chasam Sofer's mimadaik, that the Etzem will be happy to take his life. But it's just not worth the risk because you can always do it later. That's what the Rambam says.
He said you didn't think.
What did he say?
He said number one. He said we never take him.
He doesn't say that.
No, just
going to argue about. He doesn't say that.
He said, make up words there.
He does not say that. The Rambam says don't do Bris Mila because you can't bring back his life and you can always do Bris Mila. You're right. What you said is what we want the Rambam to say. He didn't say that. That's the kasha of the Chasam Sofer. He should have said don't do Bris Mila, it's dangerous, period.
Okay.
We don't put period. He doesn't say that.
Okay.
Doesn't say a word about, oh, well, there's a famous principle. Doesn't say one word about it.
Yeah.
He says don't put the life, the child of the life in danger because you can always do Bris Mila again. That's the kasha.
Isn't that acknowledging, though, that there might be some medical technology in the
future? Okay, we're getting off the point. We're getting off the point. That's what the Rambam says. Al Koponim, when I get to your question before, so I would never have considered what you have said as a real possibility, but the Rambam does seem to have such mashmos. Al Koponim, Nachzer Lididan. Rav Zalman Sirotsky said he met Rav Chaim Weizer once, and he said to Rav Chaim Weizer, I have a raya for you. I have a proof that a geir who wants to become a geir, but it's a sakona, it's just too bad, he cannot get away with it, he'll have to remain non-Jewish. What's my proof? From Yisroi. The Gemara says, Vayichad shehevir cherev chado al besoroi. Why did he do Bris Mila? It was a sakona. Klal Yisrael didn't do Mila in the Midbar because le'noshvolehem ruach tzefoynes. The northerly wind didn't blow. And it was a sakona, and therefore they didn't do Bris Mila. So why did Yisro do it? Why didn't Yisro just become a ger without the Bris Mila? Said Rav Zalman Sirotsky, Rav Chaim Weizer, so I have a raya for you from Mefurash HaGemara. And it says there, Rav Chaim is very excited, and he prays the Raya, and Shabeach the Raya. We seem to have the same proof from the Ponim Yafis, the Hafla, the great Rebbe of the Chassam Sefer. Because we all remember in Pashas Nitzavim, in the beginning, when Moshe Rabbeinu addresses Klal Yisrael, who does he address? He says, Tapchem, Nasheichem, V'geircho Asher Bekerev Machanecho, and also the Geirim. Apparently there were Geirim in Klal Yisrael. Rashi says so, Mufurish, number four on the sheets, who were the Mechaitei Veitzecho, Melamed Shebo, Knanim Lezgayer Bimei Moshe. They were Geirim. So the Ponim Yofa is number five on the sheets in Pashas Nitzavim says, L'chayra, Yipole. So it's a wonder. Eich kibul Moshe Geirim. How could there possibly be in Geirim in the Midbar? Kibun dekaim alon de'enoi geir achi yimol v'yitboil. You cannot become a geir without doing bris milah and tvila. Uba midbar loimalu. Nobody did bris milah in the Midbar. Imkein nochrim hoyu. Therefore they were goyim. So how could there possibly be in Geirim? That's the Ponim Yofa's Kashim Pashas Mitzolim.
In Egypt? They did it in Egypt and they geir.
You know, there was not a sakana. In Mitzrayim, in Mitzrayim there was in Sakona. In the Midbar there was a Sakona, there was no Ruach Tzafonis. So you see from the Ponim Yofis' Kasha, we'll see his answer in a second. But you see, what does he just assume automatically in the Kasha?
You cannot do it.
That you can't do it. If it was a Sakona, he is very troubled. How could there have been Geirim? What do you mean? I'll turn around to the Ponim Yofis and say, of course there can be Geirim. Because if it's a Sakona, you don't need Bris Mila at all. Doesn't say that. He says, he just takes it on, he assumes as a Dabar Poshet, of course you need Bris Mila. And also Tzvila, and therefore he's greatly troubled. How could there have possibly been Geirim in the Midbar? So we seem to have many, many proofs. The Achiezer, Rechamoizer, said it's Embezeshum Sofik, it's not even a Shaila Bechlal. Reb Zalman Sarotskin brought a Raya from our Gemara. The Ponim Yafa has just assumed it in Pashas Nitzavim. There is no such thing as Geirus without Bris Mila. I say it carefully because, of course, there is Geirus without Bris Mila. Somebody, Misha Nichras Hagid, doesn't have the Gids, he's like in a Keva. But that's good for the Chiddush of the Achrayinim. There, it's not physically Shaykh to do Bris Mila. Here, it's Shaykh. It's just dangerous. Too bad, so you'll have to remain a non-Jew. That seems to be the kivun of the Achrayinim, and as we mentioned, the Achiezer of Paskenis Halacha Lemaisa, as far as he was concerned, the Shaila was a non-starter. However, maybe there's room to differentiate. Maybe there's room to differentiate. Because the Ponim Yofa is there in Pashas Nitzavim. When he asks this kasha, and he says, how could there have been Geirim in the Midbar? Which Geirim? What Geirim? How did they become Geirim? Where was their Bris Mila? Don't tell me they did Bris Mila. It was Sakonis. What happened? Says the Ponim Yofas number 5 on the sheets, Ach Yesh Loima. Af She Yisrael Loimolo Mipnei Chashash Sakonis Nefoshis. Even if it's true that Klal Yisrael didn't do Bris Mila because it was dangerous. Why was it dangerous? Shalei nosh falahem ruach tzafoynis. It didn't have the wind. It was dangerous for them. After dover rochik hu shalei yisrape b'shulze. Even though it's quite a far-fetched chashash. It's not as if you do bris mila, bang, you're going to die. The Ponim Yofis is telling us a chiddush. It was a dover rochik. Elo de'ein hoilchin v'pikuach nefesh achar horoiv. When it comes to pikuach nefesh, we don't follow the majority. V'doicha sofik pekuach nefesh Shabbos v'chala mitzvahs. V'zeh shaykh b'Yisrael. Avol hanochrim shebo'u lehisgayer hoyu yecholin lahachnis atzmon b'sofik sakona k'dei sheyisgayru v'yekaimu kala mitzvahs. Ponim Yofis is telling us a tremendous chiddush. This halacha that you can't endanger your life. Pekuach nefesh. V'chai b'em, you have to live. Even if it's a majority in your favor, you still don't have to endanger your life. Remember, Rabbi Yosef, we once discussed this. How can any person ever have an operation? I mean, he's putting his life at 10% danger. We're talking about mitzvahs and averas over here. How can I cross the road? So 1%, chas v'shalom, something can happen. You can't put your life in danger. Excuse me. Torah says, no, we're talking about mitzvahs and averas. When it comes to performing a mitzvah, you're exempt. If it's even slightly dangerous. Even if it's slightly dangerous, what are you going to say? No, it's 50-50. It might be better, it might be 80-20. No. we don't follow the roiv when it comes to pikuach nefesh. It's either 100% or nothing. That's with regard to a Jew. Because the whole makor of it is the famous pasuk in the Torah, v'chai bohem. And how many hundreds of svarim have been written on those two words? Pekuach nefesh is a welt of Torah. Everything boils down to v'chai bohem. You have to live. Says the Torah, v'chai bohem v'loy sheyomus bohem. You do not have to put your life at any type of risk, except of course, when you get to the three big ones, the gimel averus chamuras, you don't have to put your life at risk, even if it's a long shot, a far-fetched
risk. And what's for Bnei Mitzvah, not for...
Yeah, understand, a person's got out of cheshvan, why it's necessary to endanger his life, he's got to cross the road, he's got to drive a car, he's got to perform an operation, that's a different shayla. Says the Ponim Yochid, that's all true with Jews, but not with Goyim. Goyim don't have this halacha, this exemption, in fact, this issa, to endanger their life. Because the Chai Bohem was never referring to them. The Chai Bohem is a posuk in Acharei Mos, talking to the Jews. That's how you could have Geirim in the Midbar. How could you have Geirim in the Midbar? Because when this northerly wind didn't blow, it didn't mean anybody who did Bris Mila dropped dead on the spot. It means there was a chashash rochik. A possibility, a distinct possibility, but a far-fetched one. Fine? So a goy can put his life in danger for that. So they did. And they underwent Bris Mila. Despite the fact that it was slightly dangerous, but a goy can do that. A goy can do that.
That's interesting, because you have today, in terms of treating non-Jews, you don't desist from treating non-Jews on Shabbos because of Eva.
Yeah, so Eva is a different subject. Very good Shaila. And that's, you have to know how that fits in with Dini Dereis. I mean, Eva is a very nice shash. We want to keep friendly with a goy, and we don't want to cause any resentment. But I'll call upon him, Vaifim. Now, there is another Shaila, by the way, also a big discussion in the Achrenim. Stam. Somebody wants to become a Geir. Wants to become a Geir. So we've been discussing until now, must he do Bris Mila in order to become a Geir? That's what we've been discussing. Okay, so let's assume he must. No such thing. Geirus without Mila, no such thing. Okay, so he's stuck. What happens if he says, I want to take the risk? I want to take the risk anyway. I'm going to go for it. So one of the Achrenim was Nadaik in this Ponim Yafes, that you see this Ponim Yafes says a guy is allowed to endanger his life. He's allowed to endanger his life. Because he says it was a sakana. Jews couldn't take the risk, but guys kill goyim can. It's a very tremendous chiddush. Firstly, in Svara, there's no chiyuv to become a Jew. There's no chiyuv to become a Jew. Ad kedei kach, the achreidim have shver on the nusach of the bracha. When a geir becomes a geir, he makes a bracha. Asher kiddushon mitzvah v'tzivonu. Which tzivonu? Instructed to become a Jew? We dissuade people from becoming a Jew. There's no mitzvah at all. It's a whole discussion. What, how can you say that Tzivonu being commanded? It's just, by the way, worthwhile pointing out. It's well known from a number of Achreinim, the Vilna Gaon said, and it's Negev to this week's Sedra. He said, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu went round to all the nations and offered them the Torah, so we only know half the picture. What do we know? That they asked, what's it written in it? And he said, don't kill, don't commit adultery. And they said, no. Said the Vilna Gaon, but there must have been some goyim who said, no, we do want the Torah. No, they're outvoted. The majority of Esav said, no, we want to kill. The majority of Yishmael said, no, we want to commit adultery. Fine, so they were outvoted. But there must have been a few who said, no, we do want the Torah. Said the Vilna Gaon, only the Vilna Gaon can say such a thing. Those people, their neshamas, eventually became geirim over the Doris.
Ah.
Now you'll hear an even more scary thing. That's famous from the Vilna Gaon. I saw recently from Rabbi Kiyega and others who say the same is true the other way around as well. Jews were makabel the Torah and they said Nasa v'nishma, there were some who said no, we don't want to be makabel the Torah, but they were outvoted. Those were the neshamas over the generations who were mashumad, who left Yiddishkeit completely. Unbelievable thing to say.
But there's a lot of people say no based on this shit.
But this is the status of Yiddin.
Oh, and Chai! Enochanan. Yeah, just as these others became, they were still Goyim, but they had the opportunity to become. But that's as an aside. I'll call upon him. There's no mitzvah to become a Goy. No mitzvah to become a Goy. So it seems very unlikely that he'd be allowed to put his life at risk. The answer is, the Ponim Yafo is never said that they're allowed to put their life at risk. All he said was that it's a far-fetched chashash in the first place. So we're talking about Ein Holchin B'Pikuach Nefesh Acha Haroiv. That far-fetched halacha, that when there's a long shot of a chashash of B'Pikuach Nefesh, that the gain were allowed to undertake the risk. We have no raya from over here that any type of sakona, a goy can go around and put his life on danger. You know a goy is not allowed to commit suicide? It's a deiraisa. It's a deraisa. We learn it from Pesukim and Parshas Noach. Completely us of him to kill himself. Kavachim for a yid as well.
Does that include Ishmaelim as well?
Yeah, everybody. There's a whole big discussion. Maybe we'll discuss it once. What about Shaul HaMelech? Shaul HaMelech, at the end of his life, he jumped on his own sword. How could you do that? He committed suicide, so to speak. Al-Kopon, who else do we know committed suicide? Shimshon literally brought the house down, pulled the whole place down. Thomas Nashi and Pelishim.
But it was Gram.
Okay. Al-Kopon, there's discussion in all of these cases. Okay, there's discussion in all of these cases, but we're going off the subject. The bottom line is, if you look in the Ponim Yafis carefully, if you look in the Ponim Yafis carefully, the Ponim Yafis never said that a goy is allowed to put his life in danger. He said this specific halacha of Ein Holchim B'Pikuach Nefesh Acha Haroiv is said only by Jews and not by non-Jews. If you look in Tosfos in Yuma in a few words says the whole Shtikul Torah of the Ponim Yafis. Top left hand corner, number 10. Tosa says, "Omari, dehainu tamad ein holchim b'kuach nefesh acharoiv." You're not allowed to follow the majority when it comes to b'kuach nefesh. You've got to be 100% certain. Deksiv v'chai b'hem v'loy sheyamos b'hem. Now look how he says it. Shelo yucha lovei b'shum inyan. You're not allowed to bring yourself into that situation, even if it's far fetched. Lidei misas Yisrael. Tosa adds one word: lidei misas Yisrael. In other words, but Misas Goy is not subject to this halacha. If it's far-fetched, this special halacha, it's a drosha. It's a drosha that we learn from V'chai Bohem. V'chai Bohem means you've got to be 100% sure of your life. 90% is not good enough with regard to mitzvahs, etc. A Goy can undertake that risk. Can't commit suicide. He's not allowed to put his life in danger. But if it's a dover roche, this halacha of Bosa P'kuach Nefesh doesn't apply to Goyim, and I found afterwards, I printed it, the Rabbi Yashiv Shlita says it's Mufurash in a tshuva. Mm-hmm. Number 14 on the sheets, he says, Michtov, Mikosu v'chai b'hem yalfinon trei mili. Firstly, Ein l'cha dola sh'oimim p'pnei v'kuach nefesh. Fine, you don't have to put your life in danger. Based Ein holchim b'kuach nefesh acha haroiv, and he brings Tosas in Yuma that we just quoted. And he says afterwards, but certainly right at the end, Migaba l'gaba din hasheni. Dein olchim b'kuach nefesh acha haroiv v'shiyehei ben noach muzar loy likonis lemokim shechashash esakon hinei rochek ad mo'id zeh ein lono. That is no such halach. So here we have a clear distinction between a goy and a yid. A yid can't put his life in danger even if it's for a long shot. Even if it's a roiv chance he'll survive, he doesn't do the mitzvah. A goy can.
My grandmother says the same thing. That goy could do whatever with his life. She's very welcome.
So she was mechaven to the Ponim Yafo, she was mechaven to Rabbi Yashiv, she was mechaven to a Tosfos. Mechaven to a Tosfos. If that's the case, we can come back now to Yisroi. Because we said that the Achiezer Paskin, that a goy for whom it's sakona to do bris mila, has to do bris mila. But he can't, so he won't. Yeah. And he can't become a goy, and he'll remain a goy for the rest of his life, or at least for as long as it's still dangerous. There's no such thing as a goyus without bris mila. But we said, others argued, the Zeche Yitzchok certainly at least considered the possibility, and in fact brought a raya from the Ritva, this child case, the Mu'uberes, that perhaps there can exist the possibility of a geirus without bris mila because it's dangerous, it's not shaykh. So we differentiated. It's shaykh, it's just dangerous, fine, but the Zeche Yitzchok said perhaps it is a proof. But Reb Zalman Sirotsky brought a riot to the Chiyaza from a posuk. You can't argue on a posuk. Vayichad Yisroi, the Gemara says, he did do Bris Mila. Why was he doing Bris Mila if it was dangerous? But according to the Ponim Yofa, he said, could be, there's not a riot. It was only a Dovah Rochik. It was only a far-fetched chashash. And B'mokim, it's a far-fetched chashash, that's a different halacha. That's called Ein Holchim B'Pikuach Nefesh Acha Haroiv. That a goy can do. Because a halacha doesn't not negare to a goy. But I had no proof from there. I have no proof from there, the B'chiyai Gavna, where it's a serious sakona. And a goy would not be allowed to do Bris Mila. So maybe they can get away with it. Maybe they can have Geirus without Bris Mila. In Pashas Yisrael, we don't have a riot to that Shaila, because there, it wasn't impossible. It was a far-fetched chashash. Jews don't have to do Bris Mila. Yisrael was a goy, so he can do Bris Mila. Vayichad Yisrael sheherev, hevir, cherev chada, al b'story. But b'chiyai Gavna, that it would be an absolute impossibility because it was a serious risk to his health. Where then, even a guy can't do Bris Mila, we have no raya from Yisrael. So, we're not Chas v'Shalom trying to be machriya the Shaila, but at least we've managed to explain why from Yisrael it could be that it's not a proof necessarily to the Achiezer. Maybe the Zeich Yitzchak could still be Oymet Chai v'Kayom with his proof from the Ritzel. So let's just be mesakim what we said. There is a huge discussion. The Achiezer, you see, uses very sharp terminology about it. Clearly this was a prevalent Shaila, and people perhaps, I don't know, I'm just speculating, we're trying to become gay and without Bris Mila, it's dangerous, finish, we can forget about it. It's not off the map. Zechi Yitzchak clearly considered this possibility and brought a raya from the Ritva that you can have a Bris Mila without Geirus if it's impossible. So there, it was physically impossible. Here, it's medically impossible. But who said there's a difference? So the Achiezer says, no, there is a difference. Here, it's not shaykh to reach the child, that's a difference. But if it's possible to do the Bris Mila, it's just dangerous. Sorry, no such thing. No Geirus without Mila. So Reb Zalman Sirotsky says, I have a raya from Pashas Yisrael. Because Yisrael also did Bris Mila. Why did he do Bris Mila? He was in the Midbar. It's a sakana. You don't have to do Bris Mila. Why did he do it? It's clear that you cannot be can't have Geirus without Bris Mila. So we've explained in light of the Chiddush, and it's a Chiddush, of the Ponim Yofes, that he explains how could there have been Geirim in the Midbar at all. Who is Moshe Rabbeinu addressing the Geirim? Which Geirim? What Geirim? Where was their Bris Mila? It was a danger. He says, no. It was a Dovah Rochik. It was a far-fetched danger. That's a different halacha. That has nothing to do with committing suicide. The halachas of Pikuach Nefesh, ordinarily, that's the halacha of Ein Holchim B'Pikuach Nefesh Acha Haroiv. We don't follow the majority. That's a specific drasha learned from V'chai Bahem, which does not pertain to Goyim. They can put their life not at risk, at a far-fetched risk. They were the Geirim in the Midbar. They were the Geirim in the Midbar, so we could say that's true by Yisrael as well. Klal Yisrael didn't do Bris Mila because there was a sakana, but it was far-fetched. But Yisrael didn't have the excuse that I can't do Bris Mila because he's a goy. It's a far-fetched chashash. Goyim are allowed to take that risk. Therefore, he had to do Bris Mila. But it could still be that the Zeich Yitzchak's possibility is still on the table. For a goy for whom it really would be impossible to do Bris Mila, because it wasn't just a far-fetched chashash, it was a significant and real chashash, maybe the Zeich Yitzchak could still be right that you could have a Geirus without a Bris Mila.